The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome to Generations Radio. Welcome to, this is July now, and it's probably going to be super hot. And so let's keep it hot going. And today we're really focusing on the baby boomers that are dealing with their parents. But also what we found is that a lot of baby boomers saw their parents age, saw them retire, saw them possibly have long-term care needs. And now what we're finding, a lot of people call and email us that, you know, they have to worry about themselves now. And so we brought in today one of our new partners, Mr. Terry Lee from the Lee Financial Group. Is that correct, Terry?
Yes, good morning.
Lee Financial Group, and welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you so much.
Known you for a long time. I've seen your face in the paper all over. And
your team used to beat us.
Oh, I don't know about it. We're talking about softball, guys. But anyway, Lee Financial Group, I cannot imagine. I've seen you for a long time, but it's hard to believe 30 years. You look so young.
This is our 30th anniversary.
Wow, good for you. So, you know, we want to talk about investing. And if you've seen Terry's face or know the name, you probably know about the, I would say, tax-free fund. It was a Hawaii tax-free fund.
Yes.
And that's probably where I first saw that. Then, of course, I saw him on a softball field a few years back. But, Terry, give our audience and our listeners, especially our younger generation are dealing with parents, a little bit of your background, because you're going through it yourself, and you're at an age right now, you're a young 61, but it's really about what do we do now for a lot of our baby boomers, right?
You know, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here. Let me just give you a quick background about myself.
Yeah.
I'm a local boy, born and raised here. I went to Punahou School. Some of you are going to hate me for that, but that's what I did. My parents really believed that education was important. In the investment community, my first job was at Merrill Lynch. I was at Merrill Lynch as an advisor there for about 6 years, and I left to start my own firm called Lee Financial Group, and that was in 1988.
Yeah, it's amazing. 30 years and you're still going strong. You still look young, I'm telling you.
Thank you. You know, I'll tell you this. Investments, and what's been very interesting about this is when I was in my 20s and 30s when I first started, my concept of investing, my objectives, what I wanted to get out of investing was much different than we are now. As we're getting close to retirement,
Yes. Boy,
the strategies change. And one of the things, in fact, we just recently, we copyrighted this logo called Losses Hurt More Than Equivalent Gains Help. And that's kind of the foundation of investment. Losses hurt more than equivalent gains help.
Can I ask you, I saw that and I was looking at that and you copyrighted that?
Yes. And let me explain to you what that means, because that's just how we run our company. Okay. If you have $100,000 and the market goes down by 50% in 1 year, how much do you have, Percy?
$50,000 or less.
Okay, so you have $50,000, right? So the very next year, the market goes right back up 50%. So you went down 50% 1 year, the market goes right back up 50%. How much do you have?
Hopefully $100,000.
No, okay, see, so
hopefully.
Just picture this now. So your money went from $100,000 to $50,000. And so now the market went back 50%, but 50% of $50,000 is $25,000.
That's right.
So
okay.
Now you're only at $75,000. So every time you take a loss, it takes a much bigger gain for you to break even. So the game here, and a lot of people get misconstrued with their strategies, is I'm going to see how much money I can make. When what we have learned over the last 37 years of being in this business is that it's more about managing the losses, managing your risk, taking risk off the table, because that's what really hurts. It's not the missed opportunity, the gains, it's the losses that really throw you back.
It does. I mean, from myself personally, what most people did was doing it in 401k.
Right.
Not knowing that you can lose money in your 401k.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking after 9/11, the financial crisis. I can't tell you how much I lost, but I lost a lot of money. Not knowing, I mean, in the financial world, I'm sure a lot of people do the same thing. Put it in 401k, double up when you reach 50, and not realizing that you can lose money in your 401k.
No, and that's right. You know, you when you look at investments, I think the first thing that we tell our clients to do is you look at the risk, not look at the reward. The reward will come, but let's look at the risk and can I, am I comfortable with taking the kind of risk that this is investment is going to give me?
Right. That's a great saying. Losses hurt more than equivalent gains help. So actually, if the market goes up, let's say 50%, that doesn't necessarily mean your gains are going to be 50% more.
Well, it does. You just have to be careful about, okay, right. So if the market goes 50%, you're at 150. And if you lose 50%, you're back to 75,000. So it doesn't matter which way. If you take losses first or gains first, you still have to manage your losses. You have to manage your risk.
So is your office downtown or is it Manoa? Because I remember seeing you in Manoa.
We were in Manoa for 20 years. Oh, and really? We just recently, 5 years ago, moved to Kapahulu. So we're right in Kapahulu.
Oh, Kapahulu. Where about Kapahulu?
Right across the street from the Safeway, that big...
Oh, the big place.
That big place, there.
And give us an idea what kind of size of a company you have. Because I saw a picture of your employees. You've really grown from three. You started with three?
Yeah, we have about 13 employees, somewhere around there. We have a great crew. We have some very, very quality, highly educated, long-term professionals in this business. I'm so proud of the people I get to work with.
And give us an idea, we'll talk about more about the tax-free Hawaii fund, but give us a bit more broader picture of what the kind of services you offer.
You know, we offer general investment services. We can help people with equities if that's what they needed. We can help people with fixed income, or we call that bonds. But what we find, Percy, is that when people get older, they're starting to move now from stocks to more bonds.
It's more safer.
It's safer, and there's a reason for that. Okay, so for example, if you own stocks, you're basically part owner of that company. You're a stockholder, right?
Right? Exactly right.
If you own that company's bond, you're a lender, like you're the bank, because you're lending them money.
Mm-hmm.
So if the company doesn't do well, the lenders get paid before the stockholders get paid. And that's why bonds are safer than stocks. Okay. And a lot of people now, so as we get older, people will say, well, you should be moving your portfolio and having a little more bonds than stocks because it is considered safer.
Right. Okay. But if they move, they sell the stocks off, aren't they have to pay gains and everything?
That's true. So if you own a stock portfolio, basically what you're looking for, in most instances, just generally speaking, is you're looking for growth, right? Because you're part owner of a company. You want your company to grow. So as a part owner, you want that growth. If you want to own bonds, then you want income, right? You're a lender. You're going to get interest back for it. So that's basically how that
great.
Works.
Great. So we're here with Terry Lee from Lee Financial Group. They're on Kapulu. I'm down the street almost every day. But anyway, I'm an Elks member, so that's the reason why I'm going down there. And by the way, Elks is the deal in town because they're renovating it right now. But anyway, so we're talking here today. We really want to focus on the baby boomers because Terry, if you have some statistics that baby boomers are taking care of their parents, taking care of their children, they're the sandwich generation. But really, statistics I've been seeing, I think the average baby boomer the 50-year-old only has about, 50,000 to 70,000 savings. That's it.
Yes. You know, savings is always a big issue, and we all know that we need to save more. But I think what I tend to look at this, and I did take care of my parents for a long time. So we've all gone through this. And if you haven't, you will go through it.
Yes.
As caregivers.
Yes.
Is what we call unfunded liabilities.
Unfunded liabilities.
Yes. Okay. And what that means is in our life, we all have liabilities that we need to address. So, for example, if you drive a car. Well, there's certain liabilities, there's certain risks with driving a car. The biggest risk is if you hit someone or someone hits you that you need to protect yourself. So most people will have insurance.
Well, you're required to have insurance.
You're required, but that doesn't mean they all have it. But most people do have it.
That's why they had the clause in your policy, right? Uninsured driver, right?
That's right.
I don't like that one.
So that's what basically you're doing is you're funding that liability. I'm buying insurance in the event that if something happens, I have coverage. Well, the biggest thing that we know as baby boomers, as we get older, is most of us are going to need some form of long-term care.
Well, a statistic from AARP about 10 years ago, it was like 79% of women are going to need some form of long-term care, and men 69%. Now, that's a national statistic that I've mentioned many times on this show. So you add, because we're the oldest state in the country, I would tell you add 5 to 10% more.
Yes. So
that means women between 85 and 90% chance of needing some form of long-term care.
And so for your listeners, if they haven't considered this for themselves or for their parents, if they're able to, because at certain ages you can't.
Right.
But for your listeners, one of the biggest unfunded liabilities is long-term care.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't qualify. But if you do qualify and you can't afford to do it, I highly suggest that you look into it, because it's almost a liability you know is going to happen. It's almost like saying, I know I'm going to get into a car wreck, and I wonder if I should buy insurance or not.
I got to get you to write an article about that. I love the way you said it. Unfunded liability. I've never actually heard that, because I've done a lot of shows on long-term care insurance. I just bought long-term care insurance last year in November. I was trying for a couple of years and thinking about it, and finally pulled the trigger, and we got it in November of last year. So, and my parents, we've talked about it before on our show. My parents, we got them into the policy at age of 77 and 79.
And they were lucky, because that's a little bit older. So
yes,
they were healthy enough, because the time bomb here, the thing that's ticking on us is, are we healthy enough to qualify to get it?
Well, I heard a statistic. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard it verbally from a planner that 50% of people can't even qualify.
Yes.
Because of health issues.
And most of the reason, and you're absolutely right, is because people wait too long.
Yeah. Well, that's why I want to get it before 60, but I didn't do my physical. I don't take any meds. And so my wife and I decided to get it done. But my parents, back to that story, they weren't lucky. I was telling them, we love you, we'll take care of you, but I don't know if I could do it, because I don't live in Kaneohe. My sister lives in Kaneohe, but she's got a family, and I don't know if she wants to do it. So what option do you have? Long-term care insurance. Oh, no, I'm a veteran. My dad's a veteran. He goes, well, the VA will take care of you. No, they won't.
And, you know, the other issue besides who's going to take care is, how are they going to take care? So, Percy, let me ask you this. If you have children, right, do you want your children to be put on a schedule and say, oh, my day to take care of dad is Monday, Wednesday, Saturday evening? Or do you want them to come because they miss their dad and want to visit?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And so if you have that extra funds to do the essential care, then the children can visit you.
Yeah.
For the right reason, not because, oh, today's my day, oh my gosh, I'm busy. And that happens.
I've seen
it happen a lot.
A lot.
And it tears families apart.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just something we continue to talk about. But my mom is about to use the policy hopefully sooner than later. But it's just something people don't realize. So I love that way, unfunded liability. We'll have to bring you on for another show. But really, I wanted to focus on what you really do, the Hawaii Tax-Free Fund. So how did you get that started? I was kind of curious.
Well, 30 years ago when I was still at Merrill Lynch, I noticed that there was a big demand in this community for tax-free income. A lot of people like that because we pay a lot of taxes here. It costs money to live in this beautiful state
yep.
that we have. And so there was a very successful mutual fund at the time that was offering people the opportunity to invest in state of Hawaii tax-free bonds and earn tax-free income. The one issue that I didn't like, it was what they call a load fund. So a load fund means you pay commissions. When
a lot of people don't know invest. That, right?
Okay, right. So a loaded fund means you pay commissions right up front. So for example, if you invest $100,000 in a mutual fund that has a 4% load, you pay $4,000 to the salesperson. So you really have $96,000 working for you the first day because they take 4% out.
Hmm.
So the concept of investing in mutual funds that are Hawaii state bonds earning tax-free income was great. But the way it was structured in a load structure was a little challenging for me. So what I did was I did a little bit of homework. I called a lot of people and kind of being, I guess, an entrepreneur at heart, I started my own fund, which was the same concept, Hawaii state bonds, state and federal tax-free income, but it was no load, which means you paid no commissions when you got in and no commissions when you get out.
Okay, so no commissions.
So what's the elephant in the room, right? Right, okay, exactly. Okay, so all mutual funds, and actually ETFs too, exchange-traded funds, have what they call a management fee.
Okay.
Okay, so that management fee is taken out. So for example, if a bond pays 4% and the management fee is 0.5%, which is what our management fee is, but just for example, then investors will get 3.5%.
Okay.
And that would be net. So when people ask you, what's your rate of return? We say 3.5% because that's what they would get. Now, a loaded fund.
Is that 4% fixed, by the way?
No, it's okay. Variable because okay. It is variable. I'll explain to you that in a second. So people who pay in a load fund, they pay that management fee and they pay the commission because that pays the salesperson. It doesn't pay the management company to run it.
Yeah, we got to do a show on it one time yeah. about this because I knew about it, but I didn't realize how expensive it can be.
Yes.
I was talking to a financial advisor friend of mine last week. I played ball with him, and he was talking about that. And I said, he got his big account. I said, why is that? Because the account that manager that before was charging a lot of fees. And when I explained to what we charge versus what they charge, they got the account. That's interesting. I never really thought about it and how expensive it can be.
No, it can. And unfortunately, the security or the investment community kind of relies on people not knowing.
Yeah.
Right, and so it almost
I don't think intentionally, but they'll talk about it.
So it really comes down to the person. Be very careful on who you pick to work with. You really have to feel like you can trust them because that relationship can be long term. Right, I mean it's going to be a long term relationship.
So for the Hawaii tax free, it started 30 years ago.
It started 30 years
and
ago.
Do you get now? What I understand, like for new long term care insurance carriers and Medicare, they have to get approved. So do you have to get that approved through the insurance.
We did not have to get an approved insurance, but you do. Like all mutual funds have to be registered, 40 Act registered with the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission. Okay. So we're registered with the SEC and we're registered with FINRA too. So we comply with federal regulations.
And so how do people get involved with a tax-free fund? Do they got to go through you directly or can they go through their advisor?
Like I said before, if because we don't have a sales force, we don't pay commissions, you call us directly, our number 988-8088, and we'll send you information.
Oh, that simple. There's no salespeople involved. So that's really great.
No, and because we don't pay that extra, we don't take it out of you to pay someone else.
Well, you guys should do workshops on that.
Yeah,
really should. We'll put it in a magazine because, I mean, as you guys listening, nobody likes to pay taxes.
Right.
And so when you say it's Hawaii tax free fund, do they get streaming income or is it just like an investment?
So let me explain you how this whole thing even becomes tax-free to begin with, okay? The name of our fund is the Hawaii Municipal Fund, and we buy State of Hawaii municipal bonds. So when the State of Hawaii, for example, wants to build an extension to the Honolulu Airport, or they want to build rail, right?
Oh
exactly.
God.
But
don't
we don't want to talk about rail, right?
Because
that's a whole other conversation. But if they want to build an extension to the highways, to the sewer systems, they will borrow money from the public. And remember, I talked about bonds being lender, you're a lender, right?
I get
so
it.
They will borrow money, and that money, so you invest, is called a municipal bond. So they will issue a bond to borrow that money. And because you're loaning money to the state and you're helping the state build infrastructure, build the community up, they don't tax it. And because the federal government doesn't have to help funding, they don't tax it. So the income you earn from a municipal bond is state and federal tax-free.
But it's like, isn't it a guarantee though, right?
Percy, I don't want to say guarantee because there's nothing guaranteed in life, right?
Besides death and taxes.
besides death and taxes. But municipal bonds are considered very, very safe.
Yeah, they are.
Right. Because whenever you invest in a bond, the biggest risk of a bond is what they call credit. Credit risk, which means the ability for the issuer to pay you back.
Yeah.
Okay, so the safest place to invest in a bond would be the federal government.
Right.
And then the second safest would be the states.
Right.
Okay. So, for example, but there are corporate bonds that might not be so safe. So, for example, if you were unlucky to invest in a Aloha Airlines bond, the company's no longer there, you could lose money, right? So
I didn't do any Hawaiian Airlines one, but I did do that and I lost a ton of money.
So you really have to look when you invest in a bond. You have to look what they call who's the credit, who's responsible to pay me back.
Well, I think the city's done pretty well with that. I think
we've never had a default in our municipal bonds.
Right. So how much can they invest? Is there a limit?
There's not a limit. The minimum is $10,000 to start to open an account. And when you open up an account, you can actually do two things. You can earn income every month. We'll send you a check every month if you want for the interest you earn. Or most people do, they reinvest it. So instead of sending you a check, you just reinvest it until you need it.
So you'll get a check every month or to leave it there and you're just going to buy more bonds with that.
Yes.
And at 3.5%.
Well, it's not 3.5%. It's less than that. But because the rates change, if you want to know the rates, just give us a call. I'm happy to say I don't want to deceive
you. Yeah. Is it because there's different bonds out there that you're buying?
Yes. And also, actually the rate is lower than that. Okay. I'm not trying to say it's 3%, but I'm just using that as an example. It's lower than that. But what happens is that we have a portfolio of almost 100 bonds in this portfolio. Airport bonds, housing bonds, sewer bonds, school, University of Hawaii bonds, Kahala Nui bonds. I mean, there's a ton of bonds in here. But as bonds mature, we buy new bonds. So when interest rates go up, we buy new higher interest rate bonds. So that's why the rate doesn't stay constant.
So when they buy into that, they're paying, let's say, $10,000. So the money that they get out of that, is that tax-free too? How does that work?
Okay, so this is how it works for all mutual funds, not just ours, but any mutual fund, whether it's a stock fund or a bond fund.
Okay.
All mutual funds, you trade and you get shares. So if you, if the shares are $10 a share for that mutual fund and you put in $10,000, you get 1,000 shares. And if you want to sell it or buy it, you can look every day in the paper. In fact, our symbol is Surfix. Surf with an X, because all mutual funds end in X. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so our symbol, if you ever want to look at Google it, just Google Surfix, and you'll see the price every day. So they have what they call a net asset value, which is the price that you could sell it or buy it for that same day. So if you ever want to get out, you can look at the price. So because bonds will move in value, you might make a profit. You could take a small loss. It depends, right? But that gain or loss is either a capital gains or tax deductible.
Oh, too only technical for me, Terry.
Okay, only the income is tax-free.
Okay. So, guys, listening, give Terry a call. Again, it was 988-8088?
Yes.
Is that correct? That's a cool number.
Very
that's
Chinese
really
number,
easy.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So, anyway, we're going to take a short break. It's been a fast 25 minutes, Terry. So, great information. We're going to come back, and we'll talk more to Terry about tax-free investing, mutual funds, and you baby boomers out there, we got to get moving here. Okay, we're going to be right back after this short break.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
Hi, I'm back again. This is Ed speaking on Medicare Hints.
A lot of people may not realize that they may qualify for extra financial assistance to help pay for their premiums and prescription drug costs, depending on their income and their total assets. These savings can be especially helpful for seniors who are on a fixed income.
Find out if you qualify. Call us.
Helping you work your way through the confusion, Navigating Medicare. brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
5914777
We don't play.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $6.99. Vacations Hawaii, your favorite connection to Vegas.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host here, with Mr. Terry Lee from Lee Financial Group. I did want to also mention our June-July issue is out, featuring two famous MidPack alums, my alma mater. But we're really talking about giving back to your school. We always try to feature people doing great work in the community. And I actually went to the Punahou reunion, the big one, last month. My wife,
our alumni luau.
Yeah, I went to that luau. My wife was my same age as me. So 40 years, my reunion is tomorrow, by the way, MidPack reunion, our class of 78. But it's a great story. Auntie Dottie is on the cover there with Mr. Galen Narimatsu. You may know his younger brother. Great story. I really encourage people to give back and go to reunions. They're so much fun. Luckily for us, we dorm, so we're a little closer than most alums, because we grew up together, take a shower, knock on the door. Hey, you did your homework. Hey, we got to go eat breakfast. It was so much fun, and we're gonna have a great 3-day reunion this weekend. But anyway, so don't forget to check that out. Then don't forget also to go online to generations808.com. You can look at all our past issues and past radio shows and TV shows on Oceanic Cable Channel 16 now, which are Generations TV. So this show segment, because we got a lot of technical kind of stuff, you might want to go back in a couple of weeks to go online and run the show at home on your computer and kind of take this in, because it's really important stuff, isn't it, Terry? Especially the boomers that need it. So I really start planning retirement.
Yes. And I think what's most important is that we take ownership of our retirement. And we don't have only faith in one person to do everything, because things happen. People retire and leave, and you might lose the person you trust a lot. But it's great to have a working relationship with your advisor or your person who's giving you financial advice.
Well, I saw a picture of your staff. Luckily, they're all young. Relatively young.
Well, younger than me, so that doesn't, yeah. I mean.
No, really, I tell people when I talk to seniors every day, make sure your doctor's a little bit younger than you, make sure your financial advisor's a little bit younger than you, because you're absolutely right. As they get older, I always, when people say, oh, we got to look at the trust again, I say, well, is your attorney still alive? Because a lot of attorneys won't want to change or add addendums to somebody else's trust that's already been written by another attorney.
Well, isn't that the case, especially with healthcare? Oh. If your doctor retires and you're older, it's difficult to find another provider, because who wants to take Medicare?
That is so right? true. It, actually, that started happening about 5 years ago. I know because I went to my optometrist and she goes, oh, I don't take Medicare. They don't take insurance anymore. It's all private pay.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with the reimbursements. And so it's worth it, though. But for financial advisors, it's so, you know, I talk to seniors every day and I always tell people they got to have a financial advisor. They need to have somebody that knows more than you. Otherwise, you're winging it. Because I don't care how smart you are, investing is a whole other world.
Well, can we talk about financial advisors since we're on that topic?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are different types of financial advisors. And there's you can basically generalize two types. One is called fee-based and one is called commission-based.
Okay? Right.
So commission-based, if I convince you to do something, I'm going to earn a commission for what I tell you. And fee-based is I'm going to earn a fee for everything I take care of for you. And when I was at Merrill Lynch, we were strictly commission-based. And ever since I left there, I have been strictly fee-based as an advisor. I really would suggest to the listeners here that if you have an opportunity to choose an advisor that is fee-based. And I'll give you an example. If you have $100,000 and your advisor charges you 1%, you're going to pay you'll pay $1,000 a year for them to take care of you. But like I tell my clients, if I want to double my income as an advisor, I have to double your investment. The only way for me to make $2,000 from you is if I make you $200,000.
That's true.
Right? And so we're on the same side. I'm never going to do a trade that doesn't benefit you. I'm never going to tell you something that isn't for the good of your portfolio or for your growth. And so to me, versus commission where it doesn't matter how the commission does, I just get or how the investment does, I get a fee either way.
Yeah, there's actually a commercial, right? I'm not sure whose commercial that was. Sometimes these commercials are really great, they're funny and witty, but you don't know who the company was. And I think there's one, right? Two guys are talking.
And they're getting pulled
And the advisor's standing out, the client's sitting down, and talk about commission versus fee base.
Yes.
And it's so true.
Yes.
It's so true.
And so you need to ask those questions, like, how do I pay you? Because you have to know that everyone is doing this for a fee or to make a living.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. You just want to be able to understand it and see if it's fair for you.
So, I mean, is it fair to ask your financial advisor, if I lose money, you lose money?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair to definitely ask that question. That normally doesn't happen in our industry. But I'll tell you what I would do. If you're going to work with an advisor, I want to make sure that that advisor is open to sitting with me every quarter. Every 3 months.
Every quarter?
Every quarter. Unless, depending.
Every quarter?
With our clients.
Really?
Well, because we want to make sure that everything that we plan is on schedule, right?
I would deal with seniors and they haven't talked to their advisor in years.
And that's what's scary, right? Because if you haven't met, the markets, the investment world changes so fast. You know that. Things happen so fast that they need to at least have contact. A phone call. How are we doing? Is everything okay? Are we still on track? You need to do that and make sure. And that's what I meant by being involved. That's exactly what I meant by you need to be part of the solution of your retirement and not let someone else do it.
Okay, since you're smarter than me, obviously, in investing, a couple of topics. We only got 20 more minutes left, but really quick, how important is tax-free investing? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, you say tax-free investing?
Tax-free investing can be very important depending on your position. So, for example, if you're in a very, very low tax bracket or if you're paying no taxes, then it's no benefit to you, right?
Or you mean like for seniors?
For seniors.
For
people who do not pay any taxes, mm-hmm. then tax-free investment doesn't have a benefit
Got
to
it.
You. Okay. But if you've accumulated some wealth and you find yourself frustrated because you pay taxes, especially in this environment where interest rates are so low, right? If you go to the bank and you earn half a percent or something like that, and then you pay taxes on top of that, right?
A little bit, half percent. But yeah, it's crazy. It's funny when I read the paper and I see, best rate in the year, 1.9.
Yes. Come on. No, exactly. And so tax-free can be a big influence on your portfolio depending on where you are, depending on how much you have and what you're trying to do. But it becomes bigger for seniors. Okay, because taxes take a big bite out. And if you can alleviate that, eliminate that. And also, there's a good side to that, a feel-good side to that. If I invest in a Hawaii state bond, let's say a sewer bond, okay, or any type of Hawaii state.
Oh, a lot of that, huh?
Yeah. Well, what you're doing is you're putting your money, your investment, right back into our community. You're making our community better. Your money's helping build this community, make it a nicer place to be. And you're earning tax-free income all at the same time in a conservative investment that's issued by the state or their municipalities.
Well, I was joking about the sewers, but there's sewer brick every day, if not twice a day. It's crazy.
Well, that's why they issue so many sewer bonds.
Well, I mean, granted, it's a ball they're pushing down the road, but it really needs to be taken care of. It's sad. And I did want to correct one thing. And now, your fund is called the Hawaii Municipal Fund.
Yes.
And not the tax one.
Yes.
I got it. So, guys, don't forget, the Hawaii Municipal Fund. Check it out, though. I would recommend you at least meet with Terry and their financial group, because now, are you guys all just fee-based?
Yes.
Really? Well, that's interesting. There aren't that many, actually. I
looked around. Actually, it's becoming bigger. It's becoming that strategy. I know the big wirehouses and the bigger firms, the banks now are all moving toward that, which
that's
is
great.
Good, which is good for the investor, actually.
So, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but a fee-based planner, they're not biased to selling any products. There's no incentive to selling one fund or another fund?
Well, their incentive actually should be, that's a great question, because the incentive should be for the client's benefit, right?
You'd have a fiduciary responsibility.
Not everyone. That's a good point. Fiduciary responsibility is the highest kind of responsibility you can have for a client. You have to act on behalf of that as if they're part of your family. That's a fiduciary. You have to act in their best benefit. Not everybody has fiduciary.
Don't all financial advisors have?
We're not required to. Only people that choose to be fiduciaries can be. We are a fiduciary, by the way. Because we have the highest level of accountability to our clients.
So is that a question that was just searching for an advisor, or you asked a current advisor? Do they have a
Absolutely. You can ask your advisor,
really?
Are you a fiduciary or
I've
are you not?
I've never heard that.
Yes.
And I'm not the smartest guy in town, but wow.
Fiduciaries are not. They're not. Every firm can choose whether to be a fiduciary or not.
I never knew that. And so do they have to sign anything?
Absolutely. Well, there's a whole other set of requirements and regulations we abide by if you are a fiduciary.
So I learned two things. Fiduciary, you got to get to make sure your agent is, because not all agents are.
That's right.
And unfunded liability.
Yes.
I got to have you back on. We got to talk about both of them. No, I try to pride myself on being very knowledgeable. As a resource magazine, I have to be knowledgeable to a certain extent. If not, I'll call Terry, but I have to be very unbiased, and I have to know a lot about a lot of things, because I get calls every day from families and people that I know that need help or are questioning this or need a referral. And so I appreciate what you're educating me. That's what I love about what I do.
Well, maybe I can explain to you just the whole philosophy, because I've been doing this for a long time. My whole career has been in investments, basically my whole career. And my first day at Merrill Lynch, and even to today, the philosophy that the professionals are taught and investors are taught is this. I have a lump sum of money. How much interest do you think I can make on it? Or what's my rate of return? And how much will I have when I retire? Right? The typical thing. And then you look at it and say, is this a lot of money here when I retire? Oh, I like it. I don't like it. I need to put in more money. That whole philosophy doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Because it doesn't account for what you need in 20 or 30 years. It doesn't account for that. And we talked about unfunded liabilities. You need to go at that point in time and say, where are my risks in my life? Long-term care is a risk, right? What other risks do I have in my life? How about my mortgage risk? If I still have a mortgage? But you need to look at all the risks. Just saying, I'm going to start with a lump sum and end here, which is what all the people do, misses a whole huge component of what planning is about.
Well, I think a lot of people lost money in the market ever since 9/11 and 2008, 2009. So they kind of shy away from advisors my personal experience. And granted, so, but now correct me. So real quick. So I heard that if you stayed in the market after 9/11, when it went way down, and you stayed in the market now it's going back up, is that, from what I understand, that people wouldn't have lost as much money?
Well, let's put, so 9/11, the market corrected, right? Then it went up. Then 2008 hit, and we had the mortgage crisis.
Oh, yeah.
That really dropped the market. But for the last 10 years, since 2008, we've had a bull market, a very, very strong market. And people, I mean, we've seen stocks like Amazon go from 50 to 1,400, 1,800, okay? So we've seen some tremendous growth. In fact, more people in their 401ks, if you look at it, would say that their accounts are doing really, really well. But where are we now? right? We have a new president, a couple years now.
But the market's gone up since he's been in office.
Market, well, this year has been pretty flat. Yeah. This year has been pretty flat. But there's a lot of things that could affect the market, right? These tariffs, the trades, and things like that. So you need to be involved. You need to be careful. You need to watch what's going on.
But is that fee-based advisor supposed to do that for you?
They should do that for you if that's what they're getting paid to do.
Okay. Okay. Couple of topics I want to talk about. Mutual funds.
Okay.
What exactly is a mutual fund?
Okay, that's a great question. Almost everyone in this country owns a mutual fund. A lot of people don't realize that, but they do because mutual funds are in your 401k.
Okay.
They're the biggest investments in 401ks. So when you think of mutual funds, let's just demystify this for a sec. A mutual fund is nothing more than a group or portfolio of something. Okay, that's all it is. Mutual fund is just a group of something. So for example, if I want to own stocks, you can buy a mutual fund of stocks. They call that a stock fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you want to even be more specific and say, I want to own stocks, but I only want them to be internet stocks, like the Amazons and the Netflix and things. Well, you can own a mutual fund. There's a lot of mutual funds that just focus in certain areas, like in IT, in the internet, in energy, in defense. You can get very specific about the kind of mutual fund you want to own.
Hmm.
So you have stock funds on one side, and the other side you have bond funds. So you have bond funds of U.S. government bonds, which means all the bonds in that mutual fund are U.S. government. You have municipal funds, which is all municipal bonds like ours is. Okay, so mutual fund and is just another word for a group or a portfolio.
Is it safer, you're saying, than going individually to a company?
Is it safe? Yeah. And well, let's say this. Let's go back and look at risk, right? The biggest risk of owning one stock or one bond, well, I shouldn't say the biggest, but one of the largest risks would be diversify. Because if you only own one stock and something happens to that one stock, so, for example, if you had a choice to buy Google and you chose America Online or AOL instead, your results would be totally different, right?
Is AOL still around?
It's very small. I think they are, but they're not. Well, we know they're not what they used to be, right?
Right.
Okay. So
people still have AOL emails. Yeah. Like, wow.
So mutual funds would let you own 30 stocks. So automatically, what you're doing is you're getting rid of the single issue risk. You're diversifying. So that's getting
that lowers the risk when you
yes, right there. Just the fact that you're diversifying.
Huh. Well, here with Terry Lee from Lee Financial Group celebrating 30 years. It's amazing. You still
30 years is a long time.
I'll give you a lot of credit. You're in great shape. You got a nice tan too. But we're here with Terry. There are offices on Kapahulu, right behind the Dol Genki building.
Yeah, they're not there anymore, but the old Genki Sushi building right behind
there. That was such a sad situation. I love Genki Sushi. But anyway, their phone number, if you don't call me, call him, 988-8088, because I do get calls, people, and when somebody said last week, you don't announce the number enough. I said, oh, okay, I'll announce it more. So don't forget, I'll announce it at the end as well, because I don't want him to call me. I want him to call directly, Terry Lee. But you have a great staff, and I've met a couple of them already, including Leanne, who's here today. But so also, to be more technical, mutual municipal bond versus a municipal bond mutual fund.
Yes.
So that's a group of 30 municipal bonds?
Yes. Okay. Oh. So, well, we have actually over 100 issues. But basically, you're talking about you can go out and buy one bond, a single municipal bond. There, a lot of firms sell them, and that's easy to do. Or you could buy the fund. And now there's a couple of differences here. One of the differences is when you buy a single bond, you're owning one bond. And you have things like credit risk we talked about can these people pay it back? You have another thing like call risk, because municipal bonds have what they call dates, where even if you bought a 10-year bond, if the call is 5 years, they can take your bond back in 5 years and give you your money back.
So you got to know that when you're buying, right?
So there's other risks that if you own a fund that has a lot of different bonds in it, you eliminate some of those risks.
Hmm. And so is one better than the other, though? Is it preference or?
Well, I think it all depends on your ability to be comfortable with risk. Remember we talked about that, right? Because your investment, you know what? It was interesting. We gave a seminar a couple weeks ago, and one of the gentlemen asked me, how much bond should I have and how much stock should I have? And I said to him jokingly, so this is just a joke, I said, when you go home tonight, go in the bathroom, get naked and look in the mirror. And be very comfortable when you wake up the next morning on where your money is. Can you sleep well? And only you can tell yourself that. Where am I comfortable putting my money? Because it doesn't matter what any advisor tells you. The most important thing is that you're comfortable with it and you can sleep at night.
Well, one day they come to you and say, Terry, well, I don't like risk. Well, I don't want to risk it. I need to have this money available. If I can't qualify for long-term care insurance, I'll fund my long-term care dollar for dollar. Or I have enough money, I want my kids to have something.
Right. So if people say, I don't want any risk, and I'll tell you the truth, Percy, I hear that. I've heard that a lot in my career, right? So then that takes out the stock market. Because the stock market doesn't guarantee that anyone's principal is intact. Right, it takes out a lot of different investments. You have to find out what they are. So one of the places that will do that about preserving capital and preserving risk is either you can put your money with the banks in a CD where your money is insured. A lot of insurance products like annuities will have principal protection guarantees, right?
Annuities.
Now, and that's a very conservative place to invest. And there are some really good points to doing it and some not so good points. The risk of an annuity that will guarantee your principal is you need to make sure that you vet the insurance company.
Right.
Because they're the ones backing your money. Again, who's backing your money? Who's the credit, right?
Okay. So if I came to you, Terry, and said, listen, I'm 58 years old. I have a son. He's young. And I want to retire, let's say it's... Are people retiring before 70 nowadays? I don't see that. I know so many
it's
people
hard.
Are still working.
It's not, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I want to retire, let's say, at 70. Now, I'm not going to hold you to this, and this is not advice, just, you know, okay. Off personal
scenario.
Opinion. How much do you think I need to have? Because I hear like million, 2 million, 10 times, was it 10 times of your annual salary? Is that correct?
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
but people always ask me, you know, because I do finance mortgages, right? And so I tell people, you have a mortgage, when are you going to have that thing paid off? Well, I'll never pay it off. Well, are you ever going to retire? Because when you retire, you have to have funds to pay the mortgage or pay for long-term care or pay for college. So, in fact, a good friend of mine I'll see tomorrow night, he goes, oh, I've saved already $1 million. He asked me, is that enough? I said, I'm not a financial advisor. I said, don't you have a financial advisor? He goes, no. I said, well, then you better go find somebody.
Yeah. So that's a good question. I never try and answer the question like that with an answer because, you know, it's personal, right?
Yeah.
But let's use your friend as an example. He says, I saved $1 million. Well, what if he has a $2 million mortgage? Is that enough?
No, his mortgage will be, like myself, our mortgage will be paid off by the time we reach 65.
Okay. And so what I'm saying here is it depends on other variables besides just a dollar, not one sum.
That's what I told him.
So when you say that, how much do I need? I'll tell you this. I have seen and I have worked with a lot of people close to retirement. One of the common themes that all of them moving into retirement have is very, very little debt.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your investment. It's your spending and it's your debt. Okay. Because if you have high debt, I don't care how much money you make, it's hard to retire.
Oh, I tell everybody. You know, because we get together at reunions, our class is pretty close. I'm pretty sure this weekend, we're going to talk about our parents and retirement, because some have already retired at 58, 57. And I tell them, biggest thing you should do is have no debt.
Right.
Pay off your mortgage.
Right. And you know what's interesting is that as investment people, most investment professionals want to talk about your rate of return in the stock market, your rate of return in bonds and all this. But the honest truth is, look at your unfunded liabilities, cover and get rid of them. Make sure you protect yourself in case a disaster hits. And then make sure you get rid of your debt.
Yep.
Because if all your liabilities are funded and you have no debt, you can live pretty simply and you don't need a lot. So a lot of people focus on the wrong things. That's just my opinion.
No, absolutely. I tell people all the time. That's why I tell people, you know, I'm here with the reverse mortgage, but, you know, it's just a line of credit. And if you can qualify for a line of credit, great, get one. But it's a way to tap into their equity, because a lot of people don't think of home equity as a bucket of assets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going forward, all the studies I've been seeing, this can be the largest part of their asset is going to be the home equity, because, you know, the 4% rule, that doesn't work anymore, right?
Right.
And what do people do?
Well, you know, and absolutely. I think if you need the money and you have the ability and you have your home paid off or whatever, then you have to look at that. But it still comes down to this. If you want to retire comfortably, the less debt you have, the better you are. And if you have too much debt, you won't even, I mean, you've said 70. Why? Why are people retiring so late now? Because of credit card debt. It's the highest ever, right? People can't walk away if you owe everyone money.
Yep. Oh, that's something that I see all the time. And it's amazing. It's pretty easy to get. And I've seen people get a new credit card just 3 years after a foreclosure.
Yeah.
3 years after bankruptcy. And they start you off small with like, you know, 2,000 limit, credit limit. And then once you get good at 6 months, they give you more. Like, that's not good. And the interest on that is up to 18% on average a lot of time if you carry a balance, right?
Yes. And you're playing, I hate to say this, but you're playing right into the system, right? Yeah. What does the system want? The system wants you to have a lot of debt.
Yeah.
Because they have you, right?
Of course, they don't. Once you pay off debt, they lose a client.
Exactly. Then guess what? That's called independence.
Yeah. It's so important, especially for us. See, so I know a lot of guys working at 70 years old. You know, a lot of my friends are, but they're still pretty active. They're still pretty sharp. But can you talk really quickly about what I've been hearing? A lot of my friends are turning 77 and a half about the
alternative minimum tax?
No. Would they have to take the funds out of the IRA at 70 and a half?
Yes, the alternative minimum distribution.
Are you allowed to talk about
yes.
that?
Yes. Okay. So it's called the AMT.
AMT, alternative.
Right? RMD, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Required minimum distribution.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm getting my acronyms mixed up.
I know.
Okay. So what that means is if you have a retirement plan, a 401k or an IRA, that the federal government does not want you to keep it forever.
Why not?
Because they want you to pay taxes on it, right? Because because when you put it away, you didn't pay taxes on it, correct?
But they'll be taxed eventually, right?
Well, so that's why they want it. Okay. So when you're 69 and a half, you have to take out a certain percentage every year. You're required to, whether you need it or not. It's called required minimum distribution.
Right. How do they get
or 70 and a half?
How do they figure the 70 and a half? Why not just 70 or 71 or 69?
I don't know. I'm not sure why that number. I'm sure they have a reason for it. But it's just a number that the government says we want you to start taking out of your retirement so you pay taxes on that.
It's interesting because I have several friends of mine and they're still working. They're still active. They're still
and they don't want to take out.
No, they won't.
Right. But they're going to have to. Right.
Exactly. Now, so at that time, they're being taxed on that.
Yes.
Money they can take out.
Yes.
So, but then if they had a tax-free account, right?
Well, if you had a tax-free account, it wouldn't be in a retirement. It wouldn't be in what they call a qualified account. It wouldn't be in like your 401k.
Where they have to take out.
Right. It would be just in a regular account, like a savings account.
Okay. But so there's no required minimum?
No. It's only if you have what they call a qualified account. So if you had an account where you actually save taxes when you put it in, so, for example, like a 401k, if you made $30,000 a year and you put in $5,000 in your 401k, you only claim tax that year of $25,000.
Yeah, net amount.
Right, the net amount. The $5,000 goes to your 401k. So that $5,000 and every year going forward has never been taxed yet.
Mm.
So that's why at 70 and a half, the federal government says, okay, let's start taxing some of this.
Okay. So we got a couple more minutes. We're here with Terry Lee from Lee Financial Group. You got a couple of minutes. Actually, 1 minute. Tell me what I need to do. I'm 58 years old. I'm still working. I still got a mortgage. What should I do? Can you just ad-lib a little bit
okay,
if I walk
sure.
in the door?
Yes. I think you need to, first of all, find an advisor that you really feel comfortable working with, that you feel is looking out for your best interest. You need to be involved in the process and not just give them free rein to do anything they want. And then you need to look at this. I would say the biggest issue that people have right now is getting rid of your debt.
Yep, I hear that.
Okay, so if you have extra amount of money saved every month, you put some away to your retirement, you put some more money away for your debt because that lets you retire.
That's so important, yeah?
Yeah.
So anyway, Terry, great session.
Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Yeah, I like to ad lib. I like to put myself in a situation where I need to help, and I do. And we want to give our listeners, you know, this show, like I said, we've got a lot of baby boomers listening and thanks to Mike Buck. But it's so important because us baby boomers have seen our parents grow through retirement, see them need care, come into financial situations. We have to be hands-on when it comes to caregiving. And it's so important that when we see that, we need to protect ourselves now. Is that so true?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the people that are fortunate enough to get gifts from their families.
Yeah.
Okay? You lose a loved one and you're fortunate enough to get something. So now you have this lump sum of money. Now you have to manage that. And you really got to be careful because there's so many people with a fast story. We call them the elevator pitch. So many people that are going to say the exact right thing, but you need to vet that.
Yeah.
And be very, very careful who you pick on your
exactly
team.
Exactly right. So you can go to LeeHawaii.com, right?
LeeHawaii.com's website. Or just give us a call, 988-8088.
Mr. Terry Lee, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Okay, great. Have a nice
day. You got to come back. Maybe we got to do a story about tax-free nesting, but it's really important. So thank you very much, everybody. Don't forget to go to our website and look at all our past shows, generations808.com, and all our past TV shows. Have a great weekend, everybody. Aloha, and live well.